word from the Bible this morning is from 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, verses 1 through 9. You are called to be a saint. Plain and simple. A saint. Now, we react to that word, or react from it, very much like we do the word converted or Christian. Methodists even have trouble saying they're Christian. Somebody says to us, are you a Christian? And we say, well, I'm working at it, or I hope so, or I'm trying to be. We just tend to avoid everything we do, we Methodists, that suggests any sort of having arrived. And I think there's some value in that. But we are particularly frightened by the word saint. And yet, I read here in this passage where it says that you are called. We are called to be saints. Now, of course, the image of the word saint is probably where we have our biggest problem. I've said before, and I've always believed, I've always pictured a saint as an old, old woman sitting on a front porch in a rocking chair who was just too old to sin. And that was what constituted a saint. And when you had reached that point, then you could call yourself a saint. And yet I turn right around and I read in the Bible where it says, if you are a follower of God, if you are the church, Corinth or anywhere else, you are supposed to be a saint. And I got to thinking about it. We're all saints. We are either that or we're nothing. We are all saints. And, you know, it occurred to me, I really stopped to give it some thought. Saint Dean. Kind of has a ring to it, don't you think? Saint Dean. Well, I tell you, I could name some that I'm looking at to be even funnier sounding, so, you know, don't laugh out loud. But we steer away from that word. Saint. Saint? Me? You got to be kidding. And yet the Scripture says, unto the church of God, to them that are made holy by Christ, called to be saints. And Ephesians 3:18 says, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the will of God for you. Now, in being hung up on the imagery, we miss an awful lot of the life. So I want to define the word. By practical definition, by way of redeeming the word and reclaiming the lifestyle, the word saint is the New Testament, or actually it's a Hellenistic Greek term, agios. And what it literally means, now pay real close attention, what it literally means is one who is dedicated to the God. Remember, it's not a New Testament term, it's a Hellenistic term, and so gods is plural. And all-encompassing, just in case you don't offend, so you don't offend somebody. The word means to be so dedicated to the God that you go for them regardless of what it costs you. Now, I submit to you that unless we belong to God in that way, unless we are saints, we aren't anything. We aren't anything. And this wishy-washy faith that is so acceptable to our neighbors is not acceptable to God. A saint is somebody who sets their mind on a distant goal and goes there. Heard somebody say not long ago, talking about the New Orleans saints, which obviously is a different use of the word in a sense. But they said, I know some of those guys, they ain't saints. But by definition, if their God is football, and they're willing to stay with it no matter how often they fail, they're well named. They are saints. Because they fail constantly, and yet they hang in there, that is what constitutes being a saint. And I say again, that if we dare to believe that God's going to let us off with this wishy-washy religious commitment that is so rampant in our world today, if we dare to believe we can be a Christian without setting our sight on a distant goal and going there regardless, then we're fooling ourselves, we're not enjoying anything, and we're missing out on the real meaning of being a Christian. I shared this illustration with some of you in a smaller group one time, but it just says it so succinctly, I must share it again. I never will forget one day when I was in college about 100 years ago. We were having a big argument about, it was actually a theological discussion in class about the will of God and God leading us and all this sort of thing. And finally the professor said, all right, you guys follow me. And he had everybody in class get out. Now, there had been a heavy snow the night before, heavy for Kentucky. It was about a foot of snow on the ground. And the skies had cleared. The sun was out. There wasn't a cloud in the sky. The ice in the trees. The snow. It was a beautiful day. He had us put on our coats, and we trudged all the way across the campus to an open field. And he said, now, I want you guys to cross this field. And he said, I want you to walk in as straight line as you can. Just watch your feet and try to go as straight as you can to the other end, up to that fence line up on the top of the hill. So we started out, and we walked as carefully as we could, and I was quite sure I was doing a good job. I generally am. And we got to the top of that hill, and I turned around, and I looked back, and there was a great big bow in my footprints in the snow, plus a few extra little wrinkles thrown in for good measure, and everybody else's was the same way. He said, all right, move further down the fence line. We did, where the snow was clean again, no footprints. And he said, now this time, pick a distant object at the far end of the field. Don't look at your feet. Keep your eye on that object and go for it. Don't take your eyes off it, regardless of what happened. We did. We started down that hill. I can still see that old fence post I'd picked out. Looks like somebody sunk an axe in the top of it. And I put my sights on that thing, and I stumbled and tripped and fell all the way down that hill. It was a plowed pasture with snow on it. And I got all the way down there, and he said, all right, turn around and look. And it was amazing how straight the line was. Not completely straight, but in comparison to the other, very, very straight. Now, this is precisely, I mean right to the heart, is the meaning of the word agios. To set my sight on a distant goal, and no matter how many times I stumble or trip or fall, to get up, lift myself up, and keep on going until I have made that goal. If you are not a saint, then you and I are coming nowhere near what God expects of us. And that's serious, if not dangerous. So taking that definition and the New Testament, let me just share with you some things that I've jotted down from this that have been very meaningful for me. This is what a saint is really like. In the first place, a saint is someone who begins a great journey having chosen a goal. Now, people who are non-saints, maybe they're just Methodists, or just Baptists, or just religious, or just nothing. People who are not saints never set out on great objectives and great goals. They just fake it, play it by ear, wing it through each day, worship what comes along, do what they feel like doing, for they're not committed to anything beyond their senses, and they hang within that sort of atmosphere on any given day. But a saint is one who sets their sight on a distant goal and goes there no matter what it costs them. That's the definition. And you know, I have been reading some of the saints. I read Augustine's Confessions not long ago. St. Francis of Assisi is an interesting person to read at this point. And here is something that you need to learn about the saints. Now listen carefully. Whenever you read one of these people, you find that they really and truly would be the last person to ever assume that they were a saint. They'd say, me? You've got to be kidding. St. Francis of Assisi was a man who spent most of his day saying, oh God, I'm undone. I am nothing. But I am going to go. I determined to make of my life something it ought to be, no matter how frail and fragile I may be in my faith. Augustine, all of them. Saints are people who set out on great journeys, rather than just an extension of their senses on a day-by-day commitment. Secondly, a saint is one this is implied in the Word and certainly in the New Testament, is one who doesn't travel at night. In other words, they're not ashamed of their God. That's inherent in picking out the distant sign, the distant post, the distant goal. To not be ashamed. The Scripture says, quoting Paul, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ." And yet, that means this, that those of us who aren't saints, well, a lot of us are in the secret service, are we not? We're in God's secret service. We're agents. And we don't want to blow our cover. And we particularly don't want to blow it around people who may laugh at us, or snicker at us, or play Joe Cool intellectual, or all that kind of stuff. And so we are secret service people so many times. We remind me of the boy I read about who joined the army and was worried about his faith and being laughed at. And he wrote home to his mother and he said, "Mother, I was worrying for nothing because I've been in this army for 6 months and nobody even knows I'm a Christian." That's not the meaning of the word saint. Now, the word saint doesn't mean you're just so heavenly minded you're no earthly good, always professing, always being Mr. Goody Two-Shoes. That's not a saint either. But a saint is not ashamed of their God. They have chosen that distant goal, and that is the goal of their lives, and they're alive, and they know it, and they know the root and the cause. A lot of Christians are like the lady who said she was now in her third agonizing year, wondering if her cactus plant was living or dead. We know what that means. We had one in our house like that one time. I used to go by and look at it, and I'd say, "Is it or is it not?" And for years that can go on. And so it is in our faith. We look at it, and other people look at it, and God looks at it, and they don't know whether it's alive or dead. Because we can be secret service people, but not a real saint. A saint, now hear me, a saint is somebody who has picked the living God as the goal of their lives, and they are determined to go there no matter how many times they stumble and fall, trip, or are tripped up. And here's another thing about a saint. This is inherent in the Word. In the Greek word agios, the word is almost always plural and social. A saint does not travel alone. Acts says, "You shall be my witness." And yet, is it not true that we so often feel that if we can just make it ourselves, that's good enough? And that we don't often make it ourselves because we weren't intended to operate that way, but we were intended to take people with us. And I'm not talking about getting them to join the Methodist Church. I'm not talking about getting them to accept some religious creed, but to encourage them to give Jesus Christ a chance in their lives. Because there are neighbors, and there are relatives, and there are others who are saying, "I've got everything this world can offer, but I have no sense of peace. There is no joy in my life. There is no meaning in my life. Do you know anything?" And the whole time we're driving along just trying to get there, and someday when we do, I believe God will look in that window of the car and look at all those empty seats and say, "Didn't you bring anybody with you? Didn't you touch any life? Wasn't your faith real enough to at least cause your children to want it? Or at least your neighbor?" A real saint does not think of themselves. They realize that faith is both communion and community. That I am put here to find a meaningful experience in my own life in Jesus Christ that causes me to care about my fellow man, whatever his agony. It is both communion and community. But my problem is, it's sort of like when I'm driving my car around town. Gainesville has more hitchhikers per capita than any other city in the whole wide world, as you are aware. And I'm one of these very self-conscious people when I pass hitchhikers. I always feel guilty. And when I see them coming, I act like I'm looking at something else. You know, and just as I pass them, I notice them. And that makes them think that, wow, if he had seen me in time, he would have picked me up. And I go right on by. Of course, you don't know anything about that. But I go right on by, and I think, boy, he thinks I would have picked him up. And I would have, you know. And I just keep right on going. And then, of course, when I get out on the highway, it's just too dangerous there, and I wouldn't consider it, except I still feel guilty. And I find the same thing is true in my faith. I have so much trouble with O.D. Martin, so downright much agony with this person, that I spend so much of my time saying, I got to get there. I see the goal. I've got to make it. And I'm discovering in my life that if I could quit thinking so much of myself and somehow begin to care about my fellow man, I'll get him there. In order to get him there, I have to get myself there. A real saint is someone who does not travel alone. Now, if you're not a saint, then you're not a Christian. It's to set our sights on that distant goal, and to go there no matter what it costs is the minimum. As I read my New Testament, really now, from cover to cover, I find that at least that much commitment is the minimum God expects. You are called to be saints. But then here's something else that's inherent in the Word and the doctrine. A saint is one who minimizes detours. When you start on that line, you just keep it as straight as you can. Keep it as straight as you can. Minimize detours. The scripture verse says, go in by the narrow gate, for the wide gate has a broad road which leads to disaster. There is a narrow gate, and it's the hard road, but it leads to life, and not many people are finding it. Now, a real saint says, Lord, I'm going to come as straight as I can. I may stumble, I may trip, I may out and out fail and fall, and I may detour, but I'm going to minimize my detours. And God expects this of us. But again, we're living in a day that says you can be as wishy-washy, as absolutely meaningless in your faith as you want to be. We don't care, because we think you're nice. But God says, I call you to be saints. To give your life as straight to me as you know how to give. I learned in high school that a straight line is the shortest distance between two points. And I've also learned that when you really enjoy going somewhere, you pick out that goal and you go there. Now, I see things, detours, that look attractive to me, and I think, boy, howdy, that would be fun. And who would know? Who would ever know? But I would know. And I found this, that no marriage is ever beautiful. No marriage is ever beautiful when detours are not guarded carefully. No man enjoys his job. Nobody enjoys their faith. A lot of people remind me of the thing I read in the Reader's Digest last month. This lady says to her husband, in a moment of real reflection and concern, she says, are you faithful to me? And he says, yes, often. Well, you know, that's not enough. Even if it's very often. Are you faithful to me? Yes, dear, very often I'm faithful to you. And God says, I call you to be saints. I call you to go as straight as you know how. And you know, you don't enjoy marriage. There is no way anybody ever had a happy marriage who did not tremendously make an effort to minimize any and all detours. And so it is in our faith. So it is in our faith. A saint is one who endeavors to walk the path to that goal. Let me mention something else. A saint is one who can handle disappointment. Now, non-saints, people who are just religious, or just Methodist, or just anything, tend to be crybabies and quitters. They get started out on faith and they have a good feeling and they feel warm and cozy and they think God loves them and they think they've experienced Christ. And maybe they have. But they stumble and they trip, as is inevitable when you're walking a plowed field covered with snow with your eyes on a distant goal. Everybody trips and stumbles. It's part of growing up. It's part of learning commitment. It's part of coming to grips with what it means to be a solid person in anything. And some people are able to say, I have failed, I have stumbled, my face is in the mud, or at least in the snow, but I'm going to get up, and I'm going to keep on trying. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to be the kind of person who lives by their instincts, just goes on their emotions, but I'm going to get up and I'm going to keep on walking. But non-saints like to cry. They like to whine. They like to sit there and say, didn't last very long, wasn't any fun, didn't work out, and somebody offended me, and just sit there and feel sorry for themselves. We are called to be saints. The scripture lesson says, we want to prove ourselves genuine ministers of God, whatever we have to go through, with genuine love, speaking the plain truth, and living by the power of God. Saints can handle discouragement. Sainthood is not immunization from trouble, but the willingness and the courage and the help to work through it. Let me mention one other thing. A saint is one who does not travel unguided. Non-saints do. Non-saints believe they've got it all together. They know everything there is to know. They've got all the answers. They don't want any God. They don't want any Bible. They don't want anything in their lives pushing them around. They know who they are and they know where they're going. And besides that, if you're just going from cobblestone to cobblestone, most of us can get there. It's just that we don't know where that group of cobblestones is leading us until we get there, and then it's often too late. But a real saint says that they need help. The scripture says that God will give you spiritual wisdom. Now, we need that. Some of us know it, some of us don't. But that God will give you spiritual wisdom and the insight to know more of Him, that you may receive that inner illumination. That inner illumination. And you know, when you talk to people today who have gotten onto the cobblestone path and who've been going in circles, or to a dead end, or faced all the horrendous faculties that lie at the end of that kind of lifestyle, you hear them say, I wish I could have something within me that could guide me, that could help me to know. I believe this morning in the inner illumination. I do. Now, I don't always listen to it, and I don't always hear it. Sometimes I think God speaks very softly, or I have a very hard head, and of course it's very probably both, but there are so many times I miss it. And I find that I get my life in so much trouble, even trying to listen, that I find myself wondering in amazement at those of us who don't care, who never try to listen, who don't even believe in an inner illumination. But a real saint is one who asks God to guide them, to show them what is a detour and what is not. You know, you come to some roads, very much like when I was a young man and growing up in the Everglades, we'd be down on some of those lonely rivers, and you'd come to a point and the river would fork, or the creek would fork, and we'd sit there in a canoe, and for all the world, they looked like main channels, both of them. But you knew from long experience in the Everglades that one of them was, and one of them will take you 10 miles back in the swamp and stop. And I find life very much like that as I stand there and I say, God, which is right? Which is the way I should go? And to know that He can and does and will tell us. Now, a saint is not one who hears it perfectly every time. A saint is not one who knows exactly how to facilitate that every time, but a saint is one who's just willing to listen, one who tries, one who sets their sights on a distant goal and goes there, no matter how many times they stumble. Psalm 23 says that even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. And a saint knows that and listens. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. The man who follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And a saint is one who listens. So what is a saint? Not one who is perfect before God, but one who is genuinely committed to God. One who begins a great faith, one who witnesses to that faith, one who walks as straight as they know how to walk, minimizing detours, one who can face discouragement when they stumble, and one who listens day by day to the guide saying, "This is the way, walk ye in it." This is a saint, and you and I are called to be saints. And God accepts nothing less than saints. Let us pray.